The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. God gathers us together in our prayers and as a church to be able to worship and to find the Lord and the power in his word and in his sacrament. So let us open our hearts and minds to receive. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has a firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that we may use the good things in this passing world in such a way as to hold fast even now to the things that ever endure. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia.
We are accustomed by now to things like social distancing and avoiding large crowds. But I will say that one of the crowds that I miss took place at the cathedral every year about this time, where couples who were married 50 years or more would gather for a special mass honoring their commitment. Over the years, more than 6,000 couples have been part of those celebrations. And if that's not enough to impress you, then try this. That represents over 500,000 years of commitment to marriage. Years ago, when I worked at the diocese, my office coordinated those celebrations, and we used to ask couples to share with us some of their favorite memories. Almost every couple remembered somebody who told them that their marriage would never last. And then they always would add, "They should see us now." For those who think that the pandemic has made it a challenge to plan a wedding, you should know that a lot of those 50th anniversary couples who had great lives and great marriages began with very simple ceremonies. More than one bride reported riding the bus to their church in her wedding dress, because they wanted to spend their money on the marriage and not just on the day. There were other stories too. One couple got to the church for their wedding, they lined up, the priest came out, the organ started playing, and they started marching up the aisle when they suddenly realized that they had left the bride's mother back at the house and had to send a car to go get her. Mom, by all reports, was not very happy. One bride reported that the last year that they were dating, her husband gave her up for Lent. No phone calls, no letters, no visits. And when he finally saw her on Easter Sunday, he asked her if she would marry him. "Lucky for him," she said, "yes." Commitments mean something. In the first half of the 20th century, there was no more convincing voice in the English language for committed Christianity than that of C.S. Lewis. He was a professor of English literature at Oxford. He was a prolific writer, but he only wrote one book about himself. In it, he told how he moved from his Anglican upbringing in his youth to abandon all religious belief while he was at college. And only in his 30s did he find his way back to God and discovered Christ. He called his book Surprised by Joy. It described his discovery of something that had been there all along, but that he had been unable to see. In their own way, the characters in our gospel today were each surprised by joy. One found a buried treasure, another a valuable pearl, a third a great haul of fish. In some ways they were alike, but in others their path to joy was unique. The man with the buried treasure was a day laborer in the fields. In those days, before banks and savings institutions, it was often safer to bury your money than to keep it yourself. And it was actually a common practice. 100 years ago, workers digging among acacia trees in that same area uncovered copper pots full of gold coins. The coins dated from the time of Alexander the Great. In a modern twist to the story, they intended to keep the money for themselves, but they were so excited they started telling everybody they knew, and the government heard about it and made them put it all in a museum. This parable is different. The person in the gospel was not stealing. Under Roman law, he had a right to keep what he found, but he was more careful than that. He hid the treasure again, then offered to buy the land from his employer. The lesson is that the man did not find that treasure so much by chance as he found it in doing his daily work. True, he stumbled on it, but he did so in the course of his working. We can assume he must have been pretty diligent in that work. Certainly he wouldn't have found it by scratching the surface. He had to dig deep. It would be a sad case if we could only find God in church or only in some rare moments in our lives. This parable, in part, was a reminder that we can find God in every day. The other story is really quite different. The merchant was actually out there looking for fine pearls. He had years of practice. He had developed a sharp eye, and one day he spotted this pearl of great price. It must have been flawless, beautiful, really special, because without hesitating, he sacrificed everything he had to get it. And the lesson is clear. When you have found perfection, no price is too high. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like that. That there are many ways to discover the joy that God wants to share with us. Like the laborer, we can come across it in our daily lives and commitments. Like the merchant, we can find it in our searching, if we are willing to pay the cost. In each story, there was some sacrifice involved, but neither hesitated, even for a moment, to make that sacrifice. Both thought only of the joy of possessing something great. Both knew that what they got was worth far more than what it cost them. And both realized, I'm sure, how it would change their lives forever. That is the story of faith, Jesus tells us. And these are the conclusions we can draw. First, these parables tell us that with faith, it's not about the price we pay, but about the infinitely greater treasure we receive. And second, it's odd that instead of joy, so many people who claim to follow Christ have made religion into a grim and lifeless thing. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "Christians are so sure they've found the Redeemer, you would think they'd act a little bit more redeemed." A German Jesuit priest, Father Alfred Delp, lost his life in a terrible way in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. In a farewell letter, he wrote to his family, knowing that he was about to pay the ultimate price for his faith. He shared with his family a remarkable sense of joy for the treasure he had found. This is what he wrote. "I know now that I have been as foolish as a child. How much strength and depth I have sacrificed in my life. How much fruitfulness I might have had in my work. How much blessing I might have given to others. Only the person who believes, who trusts, who loves, sees truly what human life is really all about. Only that person will ever encounter God."
Take my heart, O Lord, take my hopes and dreams. Take my mind with all its plans and schemes. Give me nothing more than your love and grace. These alone, O God, are enough for me. Take my thoughts, O Lord, and my memory. Take my tears, my joys, my
people, we pray, Almighty God, make us bearers of justice and joy in all that we say and do. For we are your people, and we serve you through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Graciously be present to your people, O Lord, and lead those you have touched with your heavenly gifts to pass from former ways to newness of life. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace to glorify the Lord with our lives.